Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to earnings conference call to discuss the financial performance of the Craftsman Automation Limited for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the opening remarks is concluded. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director of Craftsman Automation Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the investor call today. Thank you very much for joining. I'll just give a brief note on the market, the addressable market of Craftsman Automation. In the powertrain business, we had only a marginal increase in the demand because of the adjustments which are happening, which I'll explain later during the Q&A. Whereas on the aluminum segment, we had good growth on the two-wheeler side, in spite of our passenger vehicle business not reaching to the level with certain customers where we had orders and even firm orders, not picking up material, but still we have had a healthy growth in the aluminum product segment. Standalone as well as in the consolidated. The tractor market has declined and I think the Red Sea conflict is posing a lot of challenges going forward. I'll just put some numbers there on the consolidated financials, then we'll go to the standalone. On a 9-month comparison, the turnover has been 3,346 crore. Previous year is not strictly comparable because the Dear Axion consolidation has not happened. It was 2,202 crore. So EBITDA also will not be comparable, 684 versus 503. EBIT also not comparable, 479 versus 342. The financial ratios, debt equity has been 0.86, debt to EBITDA 1.59 because we are always saying that 1.5, 1.6 is a comfortable level. EBITDA margins has been around 20, EBIT margins 14, is for the 9-month numbers, PAT has been 8. ROC pre-tax has been 23%, ROE is analyzed as 23, EPS not analyzed has been 114. Standalone financial highlights, nothing great to speak of, but I think we have done reasonably very well with the headwinds. The turnover has been increased from 2,385 crore from 2,195 crore. The breakup for this has been the powertrain business has been 1,169, aluminum 666, and industrial engineering 551. EBIT has been 503 crore, a marginal increase over the previous year of 499. And the breakup of the EBITDA has been powertrain has been 333, aluminum products 127, and industrial engineering has been 68 crore. The storage division has a turnover of 261 versus 271 the previous year, a marginal decrease. There has been a lot of headwinds there on the sinking market this year. The market has shrunk. In spite of that, we are able to almost retain the top line in spite of stiff competition. CapEx until December 23 has been 395 crore. This is all-round capacity balancing expansion, marginal capability increase to address the new opportunities, which we expect in the near future. Now I want to touch upon the two new plants. One is the Kothavadi plant, which we had informed you in the last meeting. The plant, we started the construction activity and it is in line with our timeline what we have planned. We have declared 24 to 36 months for the startup production, but we are trying to fast track it to a slightly better pace. This will house all the three segments of the business and even the proposed cast iron foundry which we are putting up will be for industrial engineering to start with, and it will also move into the powertrain segment on the heavier castings which are coming forward. So the other segments will follow into this location because our current land availability and capacity, land availability and space availability in the current plant is quite limited. The second major shift towards the growth opportunities we're taking is we have identified that NCR region is the way to go forward with a lot of potential being there in the market for all the three segments of the business. So again, we are making a composite unit in the vicinity of the NCR region, which is within 100 kilometers of the major customers in the auto sector, as well as the storage solutions also will see a reduction in freight and logistics cost, which is good when we are running out of capacity at our Pune plant in the near future. So also on the powertrain segment, we are only on lease facility at our Faridabad plant. Any new opportunity which comes up also, this new location will address to. So to start with, we are looking at aluminum as the new, the first phase of the business, and we propose to invest 150 crore in land, building and machinery in phase number one. We are looking at sales of mature sales in the first financial year after commissioning of the plant to be around 200 crore in this. Now with this, I will leave the floor open for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Ravi sir, can you share the value add details for the quarter or for the 9 months like you share normally?
Yes, for the value add, the number for the powertrain for the December, I'm now talking about, do you want the Q3 or you want the 9 months number?
Third quarter.
Okay. Third quarter, 237 on the powertrain, 97 on the aluminium, and 73 on the industrial engineering.
Okay. And secondly, you were referring to the issues which we are facing in the powertrain business where volumes or other revenue growth was quite weak. So what are those issues which we are referring to and how do you see growth in the powertrain business going forward?
First, I would like to say that there are no issues in the powertrain business. This is we have grown from a smaller base to a very high base at a very high trajectory going forward. You know that in the passenger vehicle segment, there have been a lull in new development of products. It's a confusion of EV which is there. Farm sector has been muted for a long time, and the BS6 transition on the commercial vehicle segment has just taken place, and we don't see any new development or new production line coming in. The other challenge, I would say, has been only on the Trim 5, which is the equivalent of the emission norms for the construction equipment and tractor, which was supposed to come in from April this year. We already invested for those lines. These are some of the parts are very new. It is not the existing engine getting upgraded. But I think as expected, the government has deferred this timeline because of the huge cost impact, especially the farm segment people and also the construction equipment. So we do not know when it's coming up on this matter. Being a single supplier for many customers, we already have invested in line with our agreements because this business is not going to go anywhere. But we have already concluded with the customer and we are ready for production as and when the things. So it is something we are transitioning phase. Today on the commercial vehicle segment, we had a reasonable growth, but I think there is some correction in the market. And looking forward to the election year, there will be a reduction in volume, especially in the construction side, and there will be maybe a flat situation in the commercial vehicle segment going forward in the next year. So having since that little time back, we have improved our capability. We have increased our capacity by 10%. We also have refurbished our old equipment, which are more than 15 years old, to bring it into order, even though they're fully depreciated. So we have spent quite some amount of money. And even the machines, which are 10 or 11 years old, we have brought it to full speed. So with this sort of capability, we have and capacity, which is now latent capacity, which is unutilized, is quite high totally. With that, we need not need any further big investment going forward, while we continue to focus on the other two segments of the business, mainly the aluminum segment in the beginning, and we are moving to the industrial segment, which I will explain later, with the opportunity which is coming up with the geopolitical situation and also the government push towards manufacturing within India for all the multinationals. Our inquiry and footfall within the company has been quite high going forward. So we know what is coming, so we are getting prepared for that.
Got it. And secondly, on the Brazil order of Daimler, how are things there now? Have you seen impact of inventory correction being largely behind us now, or there's continued pressure on that business?
The inventory correction is still in process, but I think there is nothing much on the inventory correction further. But the market itself is, there also is shifting to heavy duty, just like in India. So the medium duty segment where we are addressing is not going to grow. That is clear. Even if the economy of Brazil comes back, we have factored that in. So the way we are looking at powertrain is, as I mentioned in the last earnings call, we are looking out at off-highway and industrial engines. India will become a big hub in the near future, because apart from China, there is no other manufacturing country in a big way, this casting and machining business. So there we are, a part of the investment is going for that particular segment of the business in our Kodavadi plant.
Got it. Thanks. I'll come back in to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, you are setting plant in Delhi NCR, so can you please throw some light on the who are the key clients in that particular, for that particular plant?
As of today, the clients whom we are discussing are, I think we have progressed quite a bit. There are at least two clients we have progressed a bit, and we have another two clients we are in the initial stage of discussion. The question comes up, have you got a plant in NCR? They have also contacted us for the some of the critical parts which of a little more complex nature, which they asked us to supply from the Coimbatore plant as well as our Bangalore plant. But having said that, only doing the niche projects, products and things like that will not help us to grow our business nor improve our profitability in the long run. So we have asked them that why don't they give us bread and butter business also. So that is under discussion, but there is a chicken or egg story now, whether the plant is available or not. So as a part of our commitment, we already have one bid in the auction in the Rajasthan industrial land, and we have got the land allocated. The allocation letter is expected anytime this week. With that, I think we will be able to conclude business in the near future with customers, because there are no new capacities which has come up in the NCR region. And one more important point is NCR region has been the one of the oldest industrial area for a long time. So whatever investments are being made by our fellow peer companies in that region are also pretty old, and some of them have moved on to higher technologies and things like that. So there is a good possibility for Craftsman, being as an agile manufacturer with quick development, good machining strength. So the outsourcing in some of the regions are still is insourced. I'm talking about still castings, aluminum castings are being procured and machined in-house. We have seen that change in the southern region where outsourcing of the machining also has happened. This trend will also be quite visible in 2-3 years' time in the NCR region. I think the confidence has to be in the supplier where they can meet the exacting standards of quality as well as consistent delivery and also meet the cost targets. In fact, our earlier foray into two-wheeler business was the niche area, of course, one of our customers. Other customer was importing the crankcases from China where we replaced them. So we have proved that we are able to manage this business quite well, and with capacity utilization coming up, we are able to get a decent return of ROC in spite of being only 8 to 9 years into the business.
So the new plant mainly be utilized for the passenger vehicle two-wheeler aluminium business or in a powertrain business?
In aluminium, we are not restricting ourselves to any customer base in that way. We are now talking about with the acquisition of DR Axion. It is quite clear that our passenger vehicle business is higher than the two-wheeler business as of today, totally. And Earlier it was predominantly high pressure die casting before the question. Now it is more towards gravity and low pressure, which is predominant now. It's a bigger percentage, followed by high pressure die casting. So we are a well balanced company, and we are looking at all the three processes across the both the passenger vehicle as well as the two-wheeler segment.
Okay, sir. And this quarter, sir, there is a sharp contraction in the EBIT margin of industrial segment. So despite this happened despite the lower steel prices. So what is the reason, sir?
The storage solution business has shrunk in the first 9 months, and for the whole year also it will be lesser than the market size I'm talking about compared to last year. The investment into warehouses has taken a pause, I would say. In spite of that, we have made the absolute sales almost same. I think 98% of the 9 month figure year on year or 95% is what we achieved. Our peers in the business have performed lower than that, and there is also some consolidation which is happening in the market. So in the declining market segment, there has been tremendous price pressure for the getting the available orders. So that is the reason for the contraction in volume. When the market comes back in 526, which we are very sure, I think when everybody has got their pie of business, I think the margins will improve sharply because of the capacity utilization and better price realizations.
Okay, sir. And this new off-highway business revenue will also kick in from FY26 only?
Yes, FY26 onwards, it will. FY26 also will be a small portion. The development time is, the facility to come up is 12 months, 14 months, 20 months. It's from the time of the installation of the equipment. We have informed the stock is 24 months to 36 months. So we are trying to cut down in spite of the challenges what we have. Apart from this, we have to say that the development of the parts, we are taking a parallel action where it is also 12 months for the tooling, everything to be developed. Then it comes to the validation of these projects because of the high nature, cost nature of the end product, running into few crores of rupees per product. The testing cost also runs into it is millions of dollars per product. And it, on the test bench, it works 6 months to 1 year before the validation happens. So these are difficult to get business, not easy to get, and also very, very sticky business going forward because of the huge investment which is being made by the customer also in terms of validation, testing, and the tooling cost. Okay. So we are on the right track on that matter. We already have secured, in some cases, machining orders for these particular parts, and these castings are coming from outside India today. So we are very clear on that particular business aspect. The second, we are not looking at only the powertrain business in our new facilities in Kothavadi. We are also looking at new government regulations which is related to BIS, and also the trend towards manufacturing within India totally going forward. So it is a very clear sign that we have been missing also the windmill parts. Windmill means I'm not talking about the structural parts for the windmill, but more critical parts for the gearbox housings. We have been in the machining field. We invested heavily in the industrial engineering segment over a period of 3-4 years, in phases, of course. So nothing significant per year, but now we are ready and we have proven the parts. And now we are looking at backward integration into the casting front. Our customers are open, and we are very close to negotiating and getting an LOI in the next few months, I think. It is also quite a sizable order. So that will be the new facility. Will be doing both the industrial segment for the end segment of windmill, and also other capital goods also are requiring castings, which is also part of industrial engineering. And the powertrain business for the, I think, anywhere starting from 15-liter engine all the way to, say, 90-liter engine, all these particular engines have to be developed in India because there are not enough facilities or castings within India.
Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order for the management to be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Roop.
Yes, you are audible. My first question was with regard to the powertrain revenue. So couple of questions have already been answered on that, so I'll ask it slightly differently. So your key segments like Daimler, as you said, is down 40-50%. It's still not recovered, and MHCV volumes will probably grow low to mid single digit, I think, next year. Ashok Leyland is already declining, I think, in the last couple of months. And tractor also, it's probably like zero, around 0% only, right? Along with that, you're getting new orders in off-highway segment, which is, like you said, expected to kick in FY26 onwards, right? In this context of slowing end segment over the last three quarters and new revenue kicking in FY26, is it fair to say that FY25, which is the next 4 to 5 quarters, should be pretty much flat for powertrain, like probably flattish to mid-single digit growth?
We'll be able to always, as usual, little outdo the market. But I would say that the customer case will be flat. We have already got for the other SUV manufacturer who was importing from Italy for the leading models of the Indian SUV manufacturer and also the Italian manufacturer that share engines. The cylinder blocks were imported, and now Craftsman has started the supplies in the last month onwards, which was getting imported for the last, at least as far as I know, 6 to 7 years now. So there is an import substitution. It's not a market growth that is there. And as I mentioned, on the industrial engine side, it is not only about the casting, which is yet to be developed at Craftsman on this matter. It is the machining side, which already we got orders. The castings are coming anywhere from, even from South America. These are being shipped to India. We have already started the samples. That will start kicking in revenues in H2 of next year. The top line revenue, because it's only machining value, might not be insignificant. But I think the traction is on. By the time with the confidence level with the our own facility coming in, I think there is a lot of confidence in the customer to move, not move, at least to look at stopping imports in view of the BIS standards and requirements, and also to look at the opportunity to de-risk themselves from the China market overall.
So it's also end market remaining flat, and historically also you have outperformed the end market because of various initiatives. So that should probably result in like 5-7% probably at most, right, for the next 4 quarters till it kicks into a higher growth after that.
After that, we are expecting a very high surely a double-digit growth, and it will go to the old growth rate by 27 is what we have predicted, because that will be a step change. This is some movement from industrial engines, we are currently less than 10% of our total portfolio. Just like in the aluminium business, passenger vehicle was negligible, suddenly passenger vehicle has taken a bigger role. In spite of one of our European customers, Stellantis, even though the order book which I had mentioned initially after the IPO, which is now almost 3 years old, it has not really taken off. The 200 crore order, then we downsized 100 crore, now it is at 30-40 crore, because of the headwinds faced by the customer regarding other things, not regarding the supply of Craftsman, which we will not like to elaborate in this earning call. So in spite of all that, I think we have grown. So we will be looking at using our industrial engineering knowledge, where we have grown from industrial knowledge to power in the automotive business. So that is helping us in the small volume, medium volume industrial engineering sort of activity in the powertrain business for the off-highway vehicles as well as for the stationary engines.
My second question is on your aluminium products business, which combined with Dear Axion obviously is a very well-balanced business mix today with a 2200 crore annual run rate, right? On this base, and I'm recalling all the past calls when pre-Dear Axion, when we were making this on the segment, and you have consistently maintained 20% growth trajectory, right? So
yes.
Now on this 2200 crore base, do you think there is enough fuel in the tank to sustain that high level of growth at 20%? What are your thoughts on this over the next 3 years?
If you look at it, it will be high teens in the financial year FY25, if not 20%. But I think with the new facility coming up in the north and for FY26, surely we will be at 20% on the higher base.
Okay. And so the revenue of 200 crores you said for the plant, is that the peak revenue or just the first year revenue which would ramp up to the peak?
It is the first full year of revenue provided the plant starts operation 6 months in advance, because there is a validation and things like that, but it's not a long validation like the other parts. Yes.
So what would be the peak at asset terms?
Peak, we can look at 300 crores.
300. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Senthil Kumar from Joint Rate Capital Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah. In view of the expansion plans, you know, the greenfield and brownfield expansion, the growing debt on books. Are there any plans to raise equity to pay off high cost debt?
The thing is, we are comfortable, very comfortable at one level, and we are at 1.6 level overall on the debt to EBITDA, because we don't look at debt to equity at all, because it's the cash generation versus the debt. So really speaking, if we slow down capex or we are looking at any activity, automatically it will come to debt 1:1. Raising equity will be a dilution of the EPS, which we are not very keen, but we will have an enabling resolution surely in the near future. There we are looking at further M&As within the country. Now there is a small stretch, a little change in our attitude towards M&A outside the country, also outside the country. You may ask why for 2 decades you have resisted from that, suddenly what is the change? Now we see the winds of change coming in, where the multinationals are going to set up plant here, so it may help that we are getting the actual supplier who's supplying in Europe to service them within India. First it will be from imports from there, and then we may be setting up here. So that will ensure that we have the technology, we have lesser risk going forward. We are not putting the both eggs in one basket, that is the European subject. So for that, these reasons, we may have to raise capital, but not for smaller questions, no. Our idea is not to raise capital. And I think debt servicing is a cheaper option for in taking the interest of our shareholders.
Okay, sir, I understand that. And my second question is, again, considering the expansion plan, is it the conscious decision of the management to concentrate more on aluminium products than the traditional automotive powertrain segment? If so, why?
You have asked quite a very interesting question, I would say. Now, when you look at the powertrain business, the headroom for growing on the industrial engine side is pretty high. So we have already set foot there. We are watching this for 10 years, and we made the move last year totally. Now, on the aluminium segment, looking at it, the so-called lightweighting or the aluminium content per vehicle increasing has really not happened so far because of the huge confusion which has been there on new platforms, how to go. But as expected, after long dwell time, the OEMs are looking at having a platform which has been will be common for IC engines, hybrid engines, then plug-in hybrid, as well as total EVs. So this is the way going forward, so that they have the scale which is there. Only then it's worthwhile for them to invest for an aluminium platform. So unless we have the technologies in place and size, I may have mentioned in my earlier earnings call that we are looking at the global scale of operations on aluminium. The minimum size of the top 10 people has been $1 billion to anywhere between $1 billion to $3, $4 billion. So at least we are aspiring to at least be 500 million in a place of 2-3 years time, at least. So then only we will have the required R&D and we require the development, interesting scale for the customer. And in also in view of some projects taking off or some projects failing in the market for the customer point of view, still we will be able to sustain the growth as well as the, will protect our margins, because we will not, per segment, our exposure will be lesser. So this is the way we are looking at aluminium. Aluminium is still a growing segment as far as it's concerned. Earlier, aluminium, I may have mentioned that it is predominantly two-wheeler. Still, it's predominantly two-wheeler. But I think in 2-3 years' time, it is set to change.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. A request to all the participants that please use your handset mode to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is in relation to the expectations that you have in terms of growth for FY25. So for powertrain, you said that the end industries are likely to be flattish in terms of volume. So should we be looking at a single digit kind of a growth for yourself, including the benefit of the new orders, etc.?
Yes, you should be looking at high single digit, I would say. But yes, single digit. On the aluminium, I will answer your question and then answer you before you ask the question. On a consolidated basis, we are looking at anywhere high teens to 20%.
Understood, sir. And on industrial and engineering, you mentioned that storage solutions is unlikely to see much of a growth in FY25 because of the industry situation. So that would mean that even on an overall basis, industrial and engineering wouldn't see much of a growth, I'm guessing.
It will be, because the base is very small, you can still expect 15% growth. Yeah.
Understood. And lastly, sir, for industrial engineering, within industrial engineering, can you give us the storage solutions revenue for the quarter, please, third quarter?
I think the number is 250 versus 270 in the 9 months figure. I'll come back to the quarter quickly.
Yeah.
I will talk about the storage solutions now. It has been for Q3 of FY23 was 80 crore and for Q3 of FY24 was 97 crore.
Understood, sir. Thank you. That's all I had.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Kothari from Alpha Square Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. This is Rajesh Kothari here from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Just one question from my side. In terms of the profitability, particularly on the aluminium side, on the core, without the consolidation, excluding DR Axion, how should you, how we should look at it from this year and then next year onwards?
As long as we keep growing, yes, so that we are going to keep growing. We are growing at 15-20%. I think we can be preserving these margins. There is an increase in all operational costs. That is what has impacted our powertrain. I'm drawing your attention back to powertrain. When the salaries are increasing, when the operation costs are increasing, and when the top line doesn't grow, I think there will be the cost reduction possibilities are quite limited because we are already a well-run organization. But an acquired company, we have a better chance for cost reduction. I'll come back to that later. So in the, yes, in the aluminum segment with this growth trajectory, I think we should be able to preserve the margins.
Current quarter margins were not good, am I right? I mean, if I look at even current quarter, again, it is declined. I'm talking about a core standalone aluminum business. That margins have again, reduced. So
it's always a quarter post the festive season where the products have been stopped and we have increased our capacities at that level. So overall, it will be in that situation. Year on year, it will be in the same situation. So for the, I'm looking at the year only.
So next year, are you saying that next year we should look at, about 16-17% kind of a margin, excluding the DR Axion?
I think we are operating between 16-18% EBITDA margin, as I mentioned earlier, and we'll continue to operate at that level going forward also.
And in powertrain, you mentioned that, the industrial side of the, which is the new driver, what you are looking for. So can you just give some, more insight into this? Because, this basically may drive your growth in the future, but, by this opportunity, how big this can be over the next 2-3 years?
I will draw your attention to the top 3, 4, 5 companies in the world just for an idea. Their presence in India is not so big in the terms of industrial engines. They are big players there in the construction equipment, the multinational companies of North America as well as in Japan, who are into huge construction equipment without naming names. They are anywhere between $40 billion, $50 billion in revenue, but their Indian operations are only $2 billion and their China operations are very big. So now they have started to focus in India, and we will see that it will be their plants which will be beefed up or even new plants coming up in the near future, which will serve the not only in India, growth in the Indian market, but in the neighboring regions as well. Because the Chinese joint venture companies or even surrounding companies will be at a given point will be restricted to within China itself because of the other geopolitical dynamics.
I see. So, you know, for this, do you need to make any fresh investment, the CapEx?
That is what we have mentioned in the machining side. We have been very carefully investing for the last 3-4 years in small portions in the industrial segment on the large parts machining. That is, large parts, I mean, tons, parts weighing 10 tons, which are some of the engines and some of the industrial engineering equipments also are weighing that big, very critical machining. Then we are also setting up the Kodavadi facility to target those sort of businesses because we need the castings for that. I mentioned earlier, without the castings, the machining alone cannot grow. And this segment, there are no suppliers in the country. They have, I think one or two are there, but I think they are also not scaling up to the global level. Yes.
Supplier for what? They are not there? Sorry, I didn't get it.
Oh, for the larger parts. I mean, larger parts on the industrial engines, there are only a few suppliers in India. You know, nowhere which in relation with China. So I am talking about, as I mentioned, I don't know whether you joined late, but I said engines from 15 liters to say even 100 to 120 liters have to be manufactured in India for various reasons. It may be for the backup power generation. It may be for also for construction equipment, which are large in nature. So this for domestic market as well as export market. So this opportunity is still unexplored by the Indian suppliers. That is where we are looking at. It is the same casting machining of the powertrain, which is being extended with the industrial engineering machining knowledge. Because in the current powertrain, our parts are weighing 150 kilos, 200 kilos, 250 kilos, nothing more than that. Now we are talking about real heavy parts.
So it means value addition possibility can be higher?
Sir, I think this is a very difficult question to answer because if the large part is there, the value addition in percentage of the material cost may be smaller, but the value addition compared to the work done may be very high. So I will not be able to exactly correlate that. It's not an apple-to-apple comparison.
Understood. Just last question on my side. What is the full year capex for FY24 and FY25?
FY24, we are looking at the region of around 500 crores.
And FY25?
FY25 will depend on how we are going to look at the North plant. If we are able to conclude any orders before June in a big level, we may fast track the project, which we have declared 24 to 36 months. Now only the land investment has been, again, it's partial. It is only installments we have to pay the land. It's over 12 quarters we have to pay for the land. So there will not be cash outflow. But once we start the construction and we start installing equipment, there will be capex. But that will be decided by the board at a time when we have some evidence on the particular investment.
And industrial and engineering, how do you see the margins? For industrial and engineering segment, how do you see the margins?
Sir, I think I request you to come back in the queue because
sure.
No, as mentioned that we had a...
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Basudev Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks sir for the opportunity. Last quarter call, I remember you mentioned that because of some machinery refurbishment in your factory for powertrain business, the margin was coming down and it came to 20% and the work is more or less done, so it should recover back soon. So this quarter, we see powertrain segment margin further down. So what is the status from that machinery refurbishment angle? And when should we see powertrain segment margin recovering back on the ground, what you said last night? Thanks.
I will answer the question holistically, first the specific question and then the holistic answer. Our gross block in the powertrain is very high, and we have been investing from 2004 onwards in the when we look at the gross block of 2169 crore. So we took this opportunity to refurbish to higher capability or to look at enhancing the productivity of the machine by some changes on the equipment or to avoid too much further capex. I would say 70% of it is done, balance 25-30% will be done
in Q4 and partially in Q1, but that will not be significant going forward. I think then it'll be normalized to a level of actually the repair and maintenance. So second point, which we look at holistically on the entire investment and the margins are affected by fundamentally three to four major points. I will list them out. One is surely capacity utilization, number one, because of the fixed cost which is sitting there and the machining is not done. It is something like airline seats going empty. This is one aspect. Second aspect, we are having inflation of the manpower cost, which cannot be passed on. So that means we need to also invest for some automation or productivity improvement to nullify the manpower cost. The third thing is about the existing products coming down on the market and needing some changes. We need to be agile to manage the capacity utilization overall. These are the three major drivers for the profitability. You may notice that for the quarter, the depreciation is increased by around 11 crore totally. If you look at apple-to-apple year-on-year basis, on a standalone basis, you will see that 9 crore is coming from powertrain business that increase dramatically. And the 1 crore.
Sure, sir.
To be corrected? Okay. See, it might not be available in your domain, but I would say that the bulk of the depreciation increase has come from the powertrain area totally. That means we are ready for the next phase of growth. So it is very difficult to manage growth when the opportunity arises when we are not ready. So this is a small price to pay at this stage when we have the time and energy to do it, and we will be able to address the growing market from FY26 onwards.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, a couple of questions. One is on the cast iron foundry. So have we finalized the specification for that and what kind of investment it could be required?
It has been announced that the Godavari project will be a composite plant for aluminum for the industrial engineering as well as for the powertrain. So this is a total 50-acre campus, which is equivalent to the current campus totally. Our current campus in Coimbatore houses all the three divisions of that. Similarly, that will house this foundry also.
So this would be what, a 5,000-ton foundry?
Pardon? I didn't hear you properly.
What would be the size of foundry?
It is around 2,000-ton capacity, but this is not the greenfield foundry what you may be looking at. This is the parts weighing from tons onwards only. It will be multiples of tons. 1 ton, 5 tons, 10 tons, something like this. Each part.
Okay. Okay.
That's quite a bit close. Typically, in the powertrain business, it will be 150-200 close, which I mentioned earlier. So we are not only looking at the powertrain, we are looking at the wind energy, we are looking at capital goods. This is a foundry which will address the two segments of the business. That is the powertrain as well as the industrial engineering segment.
Got it. Got it. And secondly, when we look at the exports, so what would have been the exports in this quarter?
I think I will wait for it offline because in the interest of time. So it is nothing much has changed on the exports.
Okay. But broadly speaking, the exports have been relatively under pressure for the last couple of quarters or so, like for other industry.
I'm right on that. I think there is some 161 crore to 165 crore or 4 crore, which is mostly driven by the I'm talking about direct exports. This is mainly by exchange rate. So actually, there's been no growth for that. That's very clear because all the countries are going through recession now. They're going through election phase this year. I think a lot of stock correction is happening. So we have also had the Israel conflict happening. Now the Ukraine conflict is not over. Now we have the Red Sea problem. So I don't expect, but I think direct exports, other than the Brazil Daimler export, all other direct exports have improved.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Great. I'll come back in queue. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vaishnavi Deshmukh from Yashvi Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead. Ms. Deshmukh, your line is unmuted. Please ask your question.
Hi. So I wanted to ask the question regarding the margins of industrial and engineering division. So last quarter, we have seen that it has improved. But in this quarter, again, it plumped down to around 6.9 EBIT levels. What is the reason behind this decline?
The margins are not declined directly. If you look at it, I think the capacity utilization has come down. There has been headwinds on the storage solution business where it has been really competitive because of the shrinking market. We have grown we have kept the number flat. I would say we have achieved 95% of the storage solution business in spite of the big contraction, double-digit contraction in the, more than double-digit, I would say, high-teens contraction in that particular segment of the business. So to keep our market share going up, I think we have sacrificed the margins. I think this is a temporary phase. So that's what we are strategically looking at to improve our position in the market.
Okay, so when are we expecting this margins to improve, like within next year or in FY26? And what are the margin targets that we can achieve?
Holistically, let me answer for FY26. In between, there can be an election year, there can be other possibilities. Looking at capital goods is required in the country, no choice. Coming to government policies, very conducive for manufacturing. Very, very conducive, going for setting up plants. All the states are competing for setting up new plants, attracting investment. So this has been the focus, employment generation and domestic reduction of import and increase of export. So having this in mind, we are hardly manufacturing 10% of what China is manufacturing, totally. This means we are too small in the global context. So when we are going for a small base and we are making bigger investments, it is something like a small boat rocking. So the capex which you are doing on industrial engineering will immediately depress the margins because of the depreciation hit. So once we raise even aluminium, the same problem we had 4 years ago when our base was small, quarter on quarter there were big changes. But now since we have reached at least a small economic size, we have not reached an economic size, at around 250 million, I'm sorry, 2,500 crores. So I think it is still okay to manage investment. So I think it will be investment phase for the next 2 years. After that, I think our margins will creep up just like the aluminum margins improved.
Okay. So which, last question, which of this particular division, like storage solution and other divisions, industrial energy, which is generating more margins, like comparatively, which have better margins?
No, the margins means I would shift to ROC. The storage solution is not capex oriented, whereas our contract manufacturing is capex oriented, totally. Mm-hmm. So we look at similar ROCs will be there across the segments. And the entire business model is slightly different from all these three. We expect multinationals, we are driving a lot of footfalls of multinationals for contract manufacturing of their products for the Indian market as well as for the export market. This, after a lull of practically 20 years, we were 80% export company Craftsman, direct exporters, not tied to export. In 2004, we had 83% of our revenues to be exact from direct exports. 17% revenue was coming from India. We are supplying to 34 customers in 9 countries. After that, it was a China story. But now, it is starting to come back. That is a footfall. For example, you have seen some of the Taiwan manufacturers, very big companies, setting up facility for manufacturing phones in Ozu region, which was imported. So these are their own plants. But in the question of capital goods, I don't expect the multinationals to have an end-to-end solution for manufacturing in the country. They need suppliers like Craftsman to supply.
Okay, so that will give us the growth that we are targeting, like 15%.
Yes, I think in the back of the mind, we need to understand still that we are at 10% of China's manufacturing output.
Yes, sure. Thank you. I'll come back in the future.
Thank you.
Ladies and the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi for closing comments.
Thank you very much for this interesting session. That's why I closed the opening remarks within 7-8 minutes to leave more time for the Q&A. And today the winds of change are blowing in India's direction. All the global manufacturing companies are looking at India to scale up. There's a lot of confidence in Indian manufacturing, which after a long time is being looked into. And there's a confidence that the government policies will be continued for enable a conducive environment for manufacturing. So this requires step change. The only complaint I keep hearing from customers, there's no scale in the country, we're disappointed. We still have to go back to China. So that is what we as Craftsman also wanted to change. We want to be part of the growth story, but we are not trying to take any one major step which will lead to the risk situation. So we are monitoring the situation very clearly and moving in small steps in the right direction. And as I mentioned earlier, for the first time, we are not only looking at M&A within the country, maybe small or medium size, not large size, of course, within the country and even outside the country, where it makes a strategic sense, where the risk is very, very small or negligible to even bother about it, where it gives a strategic advantage to have a foothold in the global market. So with these remarks, I would thank all the investors who have been on the call and I look forward to the meeting again soon. Thank you much.
Thank you. On behalf of Craftsman Automation Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.